Hey guys, welcome to the Football Diary podcast. It's that time of the year again. It's team of the season time for the Premier League. And we're going to debate all the key positions really and see which players deserve to be in our first 11. So goalkeeper, we've gone with Nick Pope. And there were a few others up there, weren't there, Miles? Who else did you think was in contention for goalkeeper of the season?
Yeah, Nick Pope was definitely my selection. I think the impact he's had at Newcastle and how solid that back line has become under Eddie Howe, it's absolutely fantastic. There are some other standouts. I think Alisson was probably one of Liverpool's best players this season between the sticks. I think he saved them a lot. Lower down the league, Jordan Pickford's impact at Everton probably kept them in the Premier League, particularly if you think about that save against Leicester in the penalty. That's literally the point that keeps them up, right? I think he was in there. I know Dave had a couple of others that you were thinking of as well.
David Raya.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
He's the most saved in the league and the best save percentage as well, shots taken.
Funny that none of us have picked the Golden Glove winner, David De Gea. And I'm trying not to be biased and picking the World Cup winner, Emi Martinez, because, you know, he's had his glory. He's already the best goalkeeper in the world right now, so he doesn't need to be our team of the season keeper, does he?
Well, we've even missed out talking about Ramsdale as well. He's had a really good season too, you know. So it shows the quality of goalkeepers in the Premier League this season. But Nick Pope, I just think for consistency this season, and not just this season, but last, I think he's been brilliant, hasn't he? I think he's probably in a shout to be England's number one now, but England goalkeepers are looking plentiful at the minute, aren't they? So bodes well. In defence then, right back, Kieran Trippier. No debate there, is there, surely?
No,
absolutely, Kieran Trippier.
No. Oh, I don't think any of the contenders, really. But at the centre-back, we struggled, didn't we, really? Because there's about four or five contenders. Before I reveal who we've actually settled for, Dave, name a couple who we kind of toyed with first.
So one of them was Saliba, who's had a fantastic season at Arsenal. Just shame that it really came to an end. Obviously his injury really did hamper their search for the title, and it obviously ended miserably in the end for them. But the way he's actually transformed that Arsenal defence, which has been such a problem area for them for so many years, it was a surprise for everyone to see, I think, really, because especially Arsenal fans have been so used to them being really defensively poor for a good number of years that they've looked so solid and defensively the best they've been for a very long time, and he's a big factor in that. What was one of your other ones, Miles?
Saliba was the one for me. I love that you're taking credit for that when you voted me out for Saliba. I'm going to reveal that behind the scenes footage. Saliba, absolutely, because I think even if you look at the impact of his injury on Arsenal's season, it fell off when he was gone. Can I give away one, Mike? We've all agreed on the fact that Ruben Diaz will get in there. I toyed between Diaz and Botman for the second one of my centre-backs personally, but I think Diaz can get some credit in there because that Man City defence, it got far sturdier towards the second half of the season, and that does tie in quite well with when he came back into the team as well. Yeah. Obviously, John Stones had a huge impact, but don't really know if you could call him a centre-back these days. So Diaz probably edges it there. But Botman was worth a shout in my mind.
Lewis Dunk was one that's mentioned as well.
Lewis Dunk, absolutely, as well. Yeah, both of them. Teams that weren't necessarily fancied for title competition, both have outperformed what you'd expect from a base of a really solid defence, and also playing the ball out really well and helping form attacks, both Botman at Newcastle and Dunk at Brighton as well. The fact that he's back in the England setup is no coincidence. I think his contribution in both ends of the pitch has been vital for them. So yeah, they were the ones, but you've outruled me, haven't you, Mike? Here you go.
Yeah, well, like you say, loads of competition for centre-back, isn't there? Same as goalkeeper, really, but in terms of a transformative player for a club, you can't look really any further than Lisandro Martinez, because United was so desperate for a defender that had that extra little bit of nastiness to his game. And, you know, the butcher of Amsterdam he's called? Yeah. Like, that's such a great nickname. And I think that kind of
Argentinian in Manchester.
he's been needed in United's defence, and the difference he made alongside Varane as well before he sort of got injured was fantastic. And, you know, I think when he does come back, it'll be a real relief to United fans, because he just elevated that defence massively. With Casemiro sitting in front of them as well, which is where I'll go next, he's our pivot in midfield, isn't he? He's our defensive cover. And we toyed between him and Rodri, didn't we, Miles? But went for Casemiro in the end. Why do you think that's probably the wiser choice?
Because I think if you take Haaland out of the picture, Casemiro was the signing of the summer. I think we saw straight away when United started the season without him how desperate they were for that player. And there's very few teams where you've seen such a hole in their team that's been filled so perfectly as Casemiro joining that Man United midfield. And I think towards the second half of the season, we started to see some of the nastier parts of his game. And he's obviously got a bit of a rash tackle in him that we've seen. But generally speaking, United have just got the golden glove with De Gea, and I think he actually holds a lot of credit for that because he organises that team so well. He's a leader on the pitch. He's brought a winning mentality. And his distribution, I think, was really underrated when he signed, moving from a midfield that was Modric and Toni Kroos to playing alongside Fred at times. We've got to see Casemiro's passing ability far more, and he's been really vital for Man United at both ends. So, yeah, I think as good as Rodri is, we know Rodri's really good, but Casemiro's impact to Manchester United feels like a bigger deal this year.
Yeah, I think as a pivot in this midfield, it'd be fantastic as well as a holding player. But Martin Odegaard is my choice to play just ahead of him as a really enterprising, entertaining midfielder for Arsenal this season. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's probably one of the most improved players. So he gets the nod for me in midfield as well. I think we all agreed unanimously on Odegaard, didn't we? He's been probably the key player for Arsenal for me, arguably. And if he's not in anyone's player of the season, I'd be very team of the season, I'd be very surprised. But there's another one, Dave, isn't there, who plays alongside those two midfield that isn't up for debate either, really.
Yeah, I've got fed up on mentioning him in the team of the season for the last few years.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk about it, especially after this past weekend as well. Yeah, Kevin De Bruyne.
Best player in the league.
De Bruyne, and over the last 5 years, he's got to be, isn't he? He's been the best player in the league for the last 5 or 6 years.
Unreal. Yeah.
And like I say, I'm getting tired of talking about him. But a crazy stat: half of his assists, 8 of them, were to Haaland in the league. This is not surprising. Yeah. The amount of goals that Haaland scored, but I just think that the numbers that he's produced over the last few years. Creatively, he epitomises everything that Man City are about. He's just his intensity in and out of possession. I don't know where City would be without him. And it's really difficult to think what sort of player they would have in there if they didn't have Kevin De Bruyne.
He's their identity, isn't he? He's Man City's to the core, isn't he? And I can't imagine him really being in any of the colours now. I think he'll be there probably for the rest of his career. But him linking up with Haaland, as you say, is probably the biggest reason why I think as a collective we've reluctantly gone for Haaland as centre forward as well, because his impact on the Premier League in particular, Miles, has been fantastic. And for as good as Harry Kane's season's been, he'd probably be the next choice for striker if we had another option there. Haaland's probably the standout, isn't he? He's got to be.
Yeah, again, it's monster numbers that he's posted this season, breaking Premier League records for the most goals in a single season. And you can see him getting better somehow. That's the scary thing. There have been times this season where you can see he's frustrated that he's not found goals, and he's still managed to finish the season with, 36? A Premier League title, FA Cup. It looks like he might go on to win the Champions League as well. It's got to go down as the best ever debut season in the Premier League to me. I think he's exactly what Man City wanted. He's exactly what they needed, it felt like, to help them kick on to that next level. And the fact that they're going to compete for the treble this season is a testament to the impact he's managed to have.
Who would you have flanked alongside with them? Because on the left-hand side, I was thinking maybe it should be like Gabriel Martinelli or Marcus Rashford. So who would you put alongside Haaland in this dream team of the season?
I've got to just save us from some pelters in the comments quickly of us thinking that we're playing a very odd formation with a right back, 2 centre backs and no left back. So when we're talking about who goes wide, we should probably just go back a step and think about who's going to play left back behind our wingers, no?
Did I miss out the left back completely?
We did miss out the left back, which is funny seeing as you both went for Man United player, didn't you?
Hang on, let's just edit this seamlessly in now. No one will ever know. A left back, Miles.
Did we miss out the other centre back as well? I was just like,
no, we got the centre. I don't think we decided.
We went from centre back to Casemiro, and I was like, did we mention the left back? Yeah.
Well, let's clear it up. We went with Diaz and Martinez at centre-back, didn't we, even though I wanted Saliba. And that means I get first pick a left-back, I think, and I'm going to Stupinian. I think the impact he's had at Brighton this season, bear in mind, they lost Cucurella in the summer, and I think a lot of people wondered what would kind of go down with Brighton. And like we said on the pod, they were already ready with a replacement, someone who had performed incredibly well over in Spain, moved over to England and settled in so quickly into this Brighton side. And again, the way they carry the ball forward, the energy that he's required to have in De Zerbi's system, he's a huge part of their success. And it would feel wrong to have an entire team of the season without a Brighton player in there. And there's a few that would be up for contention, but he, to me, was one of the standout performers. So I think that's who we've got to go with for left back.
Yeah, we toyed with Luke Shaw, didn't we? And we also toyed with Zinchenko, Dave, I think you mentioned. But I think, yeah, in terms of impact on a team, Estupiñán's had a great season, hasn't he? So fair shout.
Luke Shaw, Luke Shaw, purely because he appears on the podcast on a regular basis.
Not seeing it, mate.
Should we think about attacking positions? Should we go back a step then and who's going to go in front of us, Steve?
Yeah, anyway, we've corrected our path now. Thanks for that, Miles. Feeling a bit humiliated after that. But yeah, no, alongside Haaland, yeah, we mentioned Martinelli because he's had such a great season. He's not made the cut for our team. Why not?
Against my will. Let me just not get pelters from Arsenal fans for a second. I think Martinelli should be in there because I think his numbers are phenomenal. But there was a little purple patch around the middle of the season that I think has blinded a lot of people. Marcus Rashford, you're going for on the left wing, right? And yeah, let's be honest, he's had a huge impact on Man United's season. Being their top goal scorer and kind of getting back to where we thought Rashford could be for a really long time. And it's really nice to see Ten Hag's impact on him and his career and that upturn. For me, I think Martinelli was more consistent through the season, if I'm totally honest. But Rashford, we want to see him taking on Man United as his own club, because there have been periods under Solskjaer and then again towards the end of last season under Ranić where it looked like he might fade into nothing and even move on. Whereas now it seems criminal to think of a Man United team without Marcus Rashford at the forefront. I still think they need a number nine and let Rashford do what he does from that left-hand side. I think a lot this season he's been relied on down the middle where he doesn't necessarily need to be. But yeah, a great season for Rashford. So begrudgingly, I'll let you as Man United fans shoehorn him in there if you like.
Well, having said that, we have gone for the other Arsenal star of the season on the right-hand side with Bukayo Saka, and his numbers as consistent, as impressive as Martinelli. Oh, actually, he did have a bit of a blip at the end of the season, Saka, but this is his best season by far, and he's just so young, isn't he, that the best is probably still yet to come. But Saka's season, Dave, worthy of being in our team of the season, right?
100% of it. That's actually exciting as an England fan to think how good Saka could be. Even as talented as he is, I didn't see him kind of reaching these heights. The amount of match-winning goals that he scored in this season, the match-winning performances he was able to put in, it didn't look like he was going to stop. And his consistency throughout the season has been outstanding. And it's hard to not see him in an Arsenal shirt now for a long time. I think as an Arsenal fan, obviously not myself, but I mean, as Arsenal fans, they can probably be thankful to think that's probably for the first time in a very long time that they're not having another team taking their biggest stars off of them. And they've not been able to say that for a long while. So I think that's a very encouraging thing for them. I couldn't imagine a team of the season without Saka in it. That's how good he's been.
Yeah. Saka is world-class. That's as simple as it is now. It's not even potential anymore. Saka is a world-class footballer. There are very few right-wingers in world football that are as good as him. That's as far as I would go. I think he's had an incredible season. Arsenal owe a lot of their success to both of their wide forwards, because as good as Gabriel Jesus seems as a sign-in and as good as his link-up players, their contributions for goals and assists this season, that's where Arsenal have flourished, spreading that across their team a lot more. With Odegaard, Martinelli and Saka all chipping in the amount of goals that they did. Yeah, Saka's the one for me. I can't wait to see his growth, like Dave says. It seems even as a fan of an opposing team, you want to root for Bukayo Saka when he's on the pitch for Arsenal, because he plays football in such a thrilling way to watch, with a smile on his face, and just comes across like he loves what he's doing, and it's really infectious.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. That's our team of the season. So just to recap.
Not going to go for a manager.
I am.
I just want one Villa mention in.
I'm going to get to that. Give me a minute. Just to recap for the viewers, we've got Nick Pope in goals. We've got a back four of Kieran Trippier, Lisandro Martinez, Ruben Dias and Pervez Estupiñán. I left him out, really apologise for that. In the middle, we've got Casemiro, Martin Odegaard and Kevin De Bruyne. And then at the front line, we've got Bukayo Saka, Erling Haaland and Marcus Rashford. That's pretty impressive. But manager of the season, we've not discussed this because we don't need to, do we, really, frankly, Miles? It's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, I tried to shoehorn Emi Martinez, Tyrone Mings, Ollie Watkins into my team of the season, and you wouldn't let me have that. So for me, it's Unai Emery. Even though he's not there for the full season, the impact he's had on Villa, taking him from 17th up to 7th is just, it's breathtaking for me. The amount of points he managed to achieve in such a short space of time, 49 points in 25 games for a team that were battling relegation when he got there, it felt like. Yeah, it's great growth. And he's really managed that side. It's not a case of he's bought better players, he's changed the squad. It is down to his management. And that, to me, that's the thing that's made him manager of the season comfortably.
So there you have it. That's our team of the season, managed by none other than Unai Emery. I think that's a worthy 11 plus one, don't you? If you want to disagree and have a shout about who we've picked and you know, put your player forward, then please do leave a comment on our YouTube channel. That'd be great to debate that with you. But in the meantime, thank you, guys. See you soon.